A very good morning to you and welcome to Neocony View, where we take a look from that high spot at the north end of Tillamook County, surveying all that is there in Tillamook County. And our guest this morning is Maria Nagy, who wears a couple of hats, which we are going to get into, both the animal shelter and Paws. Welcome.
Hi.
Okay, so there's the there's Paws, and you are
United Paws.
United
of Tillamook
Paws of Tillamook
is the
County.
Official name, and I'm the foster program coordinator for United Paws of Tillamook.
And then there's the animal shelter.
And I'm also on the board of the Tillamook Animal Shelter, and I'm also the shelter manager.
So, I guess we'll start. Why two organizations?
Well, it just kind of happened. I started with United Paws mainly because I had some kitties that I found in my backyard and I didn't know what to do with them. So I contacted United Paws and they said, well, hey, we'll try to help you find homes for these kitties. And so I started just kind of going to the Adopt-a-thons and all the people that I met were just great. And so I started volunteering with United Paws. And one day, Sandy Carbaugh, our president of the animal shelter, came into the radio station and we started talking about United Paws. The next thing I know, she's called me, asked me to be on the board of the animal shelter, and here I am.
The problem of unwanted and lonely animals out there, does this ever go away? I mean, ever since I've been a kid, you hear this and you keep thinking it's got to get better, but it...
I don't think it'll ever fully go away, but... I think it is getting better. I think that we are making a dent, especially in the cat population. I know that it doesn't seem like it a lot of times, especially in the spring when kittens are blooming and they're all over the place and, you know, cats are in heat and making all kinds of ruckus and causing all kinds of issues. But really, we see that the calls for help from people are down. The calls of... there's a stray cat under my house having babies. The numbers are really showing that it is working. The trap, neuter, return program that United Paws is involved with is just really working.
Oh, that's good. I'm heartened. But what is it with people who won't spay and neuter their pets? I mean, how you have to hit them over the head with a tree or something?
Sometimes it seems like it. But, you know, I guess there's a lot of reasons. For a lot of people, it's cost. And they might not know that there are programs available for people who can't afford to have their pets spayed and neutered, cat, dogs, whatever. There's programs available through United Paws to help these people. That is United Paws' mission.
And are there any other reasons? I mean, people think that they're going to change the personality of their...
Some people like babies, like to see the baby kittens and the baby puppies. I've heard things like, my children need to see where they come from. Or... crazy. With the dogs, some people think that it's a good idea so they can sell the dogs and make money. But then, you know, what they don't think about is what happens to that dog later on when the puppy wears off and the person gets tired of it. And then those dogs end up at the animal shelter.
And what about the animal shelter? Now, in many areas, it's run by the city or the county. Who runs the animal shelter here?
The animal shelter here is run by Tillamook Animal Shelter, and we're a 501c3 nonprofit. We contract with the county and the city to take the stray animals that they pick up. So generally, our dogs come from the police officers or the county dog control that picks them up, and we only take dogs at the animal shelter because of the size of our animal shelter. We're only able to have 8 dogs at one time. We don't have a place to put kitties.
What happens to dog number 9?
Well, we usually call the county on a daily basis and tell them how many spaces we have. And generally, they just can't pick up a stray dog if we don't have a space to put it. I mean, if it's a dangerous situation and someone is in danger, then I guess they make other arrangements with shelters in other places, say Washington County, maybe Salem.
And I know one of the wonderful things you do is after a dog, and cats as well, come into your field of view, you go and find homes for them.
We try. Yeah. We try. Both organizations, United Paws, has a pretty good adoption program. I think that we adopted out about 150 cats last year.
How do you do that?
people come and they see the value of getting a cat from United Paws as opposed to a kitty that you just find in a box at Safeway, some little girl giving away a kitty or something. When you get a kitty from United Paws, not only are you helping to support our mission to spay and neuter all the dogs and cats that need it in the county, but you get a good value because the cost of a cat is actually less than the cost of what it would be to get the cat spayed or neutered, and that comes with every adoption.
And it's a pretty reasonable price to adopt a cat or a dog, isn't it?
Oh, yes. Kitties are much less than the cost of what it would be to have them fixed. So basically, it's about $50, $50 to $65 for a cat, and they all come current on shots and spayed and neutered or with a certificate if they're younger.
Our guest this morning on the Neocony View is Maria Nagy. She is with the United Paws of Tillamook County and also works with the animal shelter in Tillamook County. And you also, your organization has a lot of contact with the local vets.
We do. The local vets are great. They help us out with all kinds of things. You know, they give us discounts on what they can on spay and neuter. And we just have really good relationships with the vet techs and everybody who works there. And I mean, I am talking with Pioneer Tillamook every day almost.
And it seems like this is the time of year, of course, when you start seeing the kitties and the doggies, little puppies kind of feral or unwanted or landing at your doorstep somehow. Talk us through the process. What happens? Somebody calls in. They've seen, as you said earlier, there's a cat or some kittens underneath the house. What happens?
Well, it depends on whether the kitties are feral or semi-tame. You know, a lot of times the kitties are, the mama cat, say, has been just abandoned by her owners and is friendly. And what we try to do, because we really have a lack of foster homes in the county to keep the kitties, and since we don't have a shelter for kitties, it becomes really hard. What we try to do is try to get the people who have found the kitty to see if they might be willing to be self-fosters, where we would help them try to find homes for the kitties. Now, if they're completely feral and can't be touched, then we will provide some assistance with trapping and spay-neuter. And a lot of people are willing to feed kitties that are around in their neighborhood. They just don't want them making more. And so when we find somebody like that, we will spay and neuter all the cats, and then they take over the care of those kitties. If they're absolutely feral and can't, you know, the people there can't take care of it, occasionally we have been able to relocate a few, but that is very rare because obviously nobody wants a big stack of feral cats on their property.
And it has to be a little bit different with dogs because they're not quite as self-sufficient.
Yeah, dogs are more in your face, running in the street, you know, and can be potentially dangerous to leave them out. You know, they can cause a car accident, they can bite somebody, you know. So dogs are a little more in your face, and people, you kind of have to do something about it. It's kitties kind of get swept under the rug for whatever reason, and people ignore them, but you can't really ignore a dog.
What about you personally? You see a lot of animals. You've got to bond with practically every one of them.
I do.
Is that sort of a problem, trying to maintain a little, I don't know, objectivity isn't exactly what you're looking for, but a little bit of distance, a little bit of emotional distance?
It's really hard to maintain any emotional distance, and I'm not real good at it, but it makes me strive harder to find them a good home or find a solution for a particular animal, because I can care about the feral kitty that I just happened to see on the side of the road, you know. So it helps me. It spurs me on.
How about injured animals? You must come across those as well.
We do. And United Paws has been really, really great about helping the injured animals, especially the stray injured animals. Let's say we find an animal, we can't find its owner. United Paws will help with the vet bill. So we try to get that animal right to the vet. And even if it's a weekend and we have to pay an emergency cost, that hasn't stopped us.
Yeah, I do want to get to the finances of all of this and how people can help and your adopt-a-thons and all sorts of things like that. But advice to people who come across an injured animal. Let's say I'm driving along and I see a cat or a dog that may have been hit by a car or somehow appears to be injured. Do I call you? What do I do?
Well, the first thing to do would be to call the police. And the police also, the county of Tillamook can pick up a dog or a cat and take it to the vet for emergency care. They do have a cap on what they will pay, but the vet also knows at that point to contact United Paws and see if we can help this animal. So the first thing to do would be to call the police.
Mm-hmm. And the police have carriers that are they well equipped to deal with this?
I don't know that they're well equipped to deal with it necessarily. I mean, you know, every cop or police car doesn't have a carrier in it, but they'll try. They will definitely, you know, if it takes a cardboard box, they'll try.
And do they contact you at some point?
They do. Mm-hmm. They do. If it's a dog, they'll generally call the animal shelter. If it's a cat, they'll call United Paws, or they'll call the animal shelter, in which case they get a hold of me and it works anyway.
Well, how do the finances of all this work? I mean, all this costs money. And
it does. And it costs a lot of money.
How do you raise
money? Some of
the
money comes from grant money, and the rest of it just comes from donations. Tillamook Animal Shelter gets a little bit of money from the county every year. Every quarter, we get a check from the county in exchange for caring for all the county dogs. But United Paws is completely run on donations. And actually, Tillamook Animal Shelter, a majority of our budget comes from donations.
Now, Tillamook,
and dog adoptions.
Tillamook County is a long piece of geography.
It
and,
is.
And is there an issue with dogs that are and cats that are outside of the central county area?
Sometimes.
Do you have satellite volunteers in the north
no,
and the
south? No, we don't.
Probably could use some.
We absolutely could use some volunteers in different areas of town. It gets really hard because most of us are centrally located. A few of the animal shelter people are located down in South County, but otherwise the majority of us are centrally located, Tillamook, Neatards. And so we just get in the car and go, you know, so it takes up a lot of our time.
Which in turn takes money.
Yes.
Gas and
yes.
All
well,
the
most of us, most of us pay our own gas on these kind of things.
Well, you're real labor of love for you. Have you always been an animal person?
I have.
Yeah.
I could never be a vet because it's just too much for me. So this was just kind of perfect for me.
So I'll have to ask you about your first animal.
Okay. My first
Your
animal.
First animal.
Wow.
That you remember anyway.
My first animal that I remember was my Dalmatian. And I actually had two. A brother and a sister. Puppies. We went to the pet store. And I cried really bad because I couldn't pick just one. And then I felt bad because one was going to get left there all by itself. Because there was just two Dalmatian puppies. And so my dad bought me both. And so I grew up with my two crazy Dalmatian puppies.
Funny you should mention Dalmatians because one of my first animal experiences, I think it was 5 years old, and a Dalmatian chased me. And it took me years before I overcame my dislike of Dalmatians.
Oh, no.
All because of, you know, little five-year-old kid gets chased by a dog. And
they are kind of rambunctious dogs,
yeah.
Full of energy.
Yeah.
It was something else, having him as a little kid. Yeah.
Do you give advice to people who maybe either have a first pet? I guess pet is not, we're supposed to use animal companion, I guess, is the increasingly politically correct term.
Yeah,
but I still use pet.
I do too.
I slap me around a little bit, I guess. But do you personally or the organizations have any advice for people who are just getting that first animal? You know, maybe, you know, their child wants to have a dog. Well, that's easy enough said, but there's work behind it.
There is. And when we're about to adopt out a dog, we have lengthy conversations with the potential adopters about why they're doing this, you know, why they want the dog. And that's kind of a red flag when somebody came recently and told me they wanted their two-year-old wanted a dog. Well, you know, the two-year-old isn't necessarily responsible enough to want a dog yet. So it has to be, you know, people have to think about these things and make responsible decisions, which is really hard when you have a cute little puppy staring you in the face. You know, it's sometimes the decisions are based on emotion. So we do try to provide as much information as we can. We have flyers that we hand out. We have information on our websites, both United Paws and Shelter. We have a lot of information on caring for your animal, on kittens, what to do if you find kittens, things like that, that we direct people towards so that they can make a really informed decision and get more information.
Yeah, and speaking of Dalmatians, you know, the stupid things, like after the film 101 Dalmatians, parents wanted to get a Dalmatian. I can't think of a worse reason to get a dog than because you saw one in a movie.
Yeah, that happens a lot after a particular movie. It was the movie with the yellow lab. Everybody wanted a yellow lab after that movie came out. I can't even remember what it was, just a couple of years ago. And it was a Disney movie, and everybody wanted it. You couldn't find a home for a yellow lab, but all of a sudden. So people do make those emotional decisions, and we try to discourage that. Part of our adoption process is to kind of slow things down and take a couple of days and make sure that everybody's making the right decision.
And if there's a child involved, you try to get the child involved and get them to understand exactly what the responsibility is.
If there's a child involved, especially... Most of the time, though, we go out to the house and we see how the dog interacts with everybody, and we spend time making sure that it's going to be the right fit, because we don't want a child to get hurt and we don't want a dog to do something, you know.
You know, I realize you're not an animal behavior expert, though you probably are in a way, and you've been around a lot of animals, so you may not be an accredited
one. I'm not.
But... any thoughts about what the ideal size of the number of dogs or cats that a family should have? I mean, you know, some communities you can't have more than two. Obviously not the case around here, but in the city, for example, sometimes a limit no more than two cats or two dogs. And is there an upper limit at which you kind of go, whoa, that's probably not a good idea, in your opinion?
I guess it depends on the situation. Sometimes in the right space, you maybe can have more kitties especially. You can have five or six kitties and everybody can still be okay, as long as you have plenty of space to accommodate these kitties.
And now, that they have space to call their own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so there's no fighting and stuff. I mean, there's five cats in my house, so
I'm
no one to talk
why
here.
Why am I not surprised?
Yeah. With dogs, it kind of becomes a different thing, because you get too many dogs, and dogs require more space, more time, more attention than a cat. So if you get somebody with, say, already has three dogs and comes to the animal shelter and wants to adopt another dog, it's most likely that I'm going to turn down that application. So it's just kind of on a case-by-case basis. I don't know if there's an exact number that I would cap it at.
I wonder if you have any thoughts on this. I keep reading that, you know, cats are solitary creatures and they really don't require having another kitty around. But I found that having two cats around, it has to be the right two cats, but that two cats get along perfectly well and actually kind of enjoy each other's company. And yet all these books about animal behavior say, nah, they're solitary. They just do not have another cat around.
Yeah, I don't find that to be the case either. That my cats, they're always hanging together. They're always on the bed together. They always eat together. So it's all, and when they go to play, all of them go at the same time and play on the same toy, the same cat climbing toy. So I think that they enjoy being in a group. Obviously, maybe you have a 10-year-old cat that has never been with another cat. That cat might not like another cat, but most of them I find do like being in a pack.
Do you have any thoughts on the kind of, I'm trying to think what to do, the kind of cartoon world we are creating around animals? And I'll admit, I love the I can't has cheeseburger, oh, yeah, LOL cat stuff. But part of me is also thinking, you know, what we're doing to these animals is we're turning them into little cartoon versions of people.
Yeah.
And that isn't respectful for their individual animal behavior.
It's true. And it's really hard not to do. I have a hard time not doing the baby talk at my kitties and things like that. And we have to remember that their emotions are completely different than ours. Same with dogs. we put emotions on them that they don't have. And a lot of times that causes problems like separation anxiety issues in dogs. A lot of times people make that worse by, say, when they're going to leave, "Oh, it's going to be okay, puppy. Don't worry, I'll be right back." Well, you've already stressed out the dog because he knows something's going to happen because you're talking to him in that weird way. So sometimes it's quite harmful to put those human emotions on your pet, and you just got to stop and think about the fact that this is a dog and I am the human and we think differently.
And it probably reaches its peak in the commercials for cat and dog food. I mean, where they really go over the top to make you think that unless you're buying a particular brand, you know, that you are somehow not servicing your cat or dog properly.
All the colors and shapes and supposedly different flavors and things that are put into commercial cat and dog food are put there for humans.
Oh, yeah, the, you know, gourmet feast, whatever, stuff like.
And things like Florentine cat food with spinach in it. How many cats do you see going out into the garden and chomping away on the spinach? Cats are not meant to eat spinach.
Yeah. You know,
so it's all put there for people because they want people to buy this stuff. And that just makes the whole problem worse.
And I know you're particularly concerned about some of the quality of the commercially available pet products.
Yeah. It really is beneficial to your companion animal to feed them a good diet. Just like us, I call the Friskies and the Purina food McDonald's. You know, the grocery store cat food, I call that McDonald's food because my cats, for whatever reason, they really want that stuff. There's things, flavors and additives put in there that for whatever reason, it gets cats addicted. Just like people get addicted to junk food, the cats get addicted to that too. But they're not meant to eat that. And dogs are not meant to eat that stuff either.
And yet the good stuff, as they say, is considerably more expensive.
It is considerably more expensive. However, being that it's not all filler, in the end, when you're really working out, it doesn't cost that much more to eat properly because they eat less of it. Mm-hmm. Because when you have pure protein, I mean, it's not necessarily pure protein, but when you have a good amount of protein, just like in a human, that takes care of your hunger and satisfies you more than empty carbohydrates. It's the same thing in dogs and cats. When you feed them good proteins, then they tend to eat less because they're not eating all that corn gluten and filler.
We are talking with Maria Nagy this morning with the United Paws of Tillamook County and the Tillamook County Animal Shelter, and we can't let the morning go by without talking about things like the Adopt-a-thons, which happen just about every month.
We have an Adopt-a-thon, usually the third or fourth Saturday in the month. This year they're falling on the fourth Saturday.
So we are at Monday, the whatever it's, it is. So I guess it'll be coming up this coming weekend, next weekend.
We just had one, actually.
Just had one this past
Saturday.
So there'll be one in May then.
There will be one in May.
Now I got it all straight. And how does that all work? You go? It's at the
4-H dorm usually.
At the fairgrounds.
And we go and we bring as many cats as we can, and we bring as many dogs as we can, and we just kind of hang out at the fairgrounds there at the 4-H dorm. And people show up and they look for their animals to adopt.
And if they should decide to adopt it, one of two things, right? They can either go through an approval process there or get pre-approved?
Yes.
Okay.
People can go to either website, unitedpaws.org or tillamookanimalshelter.org. And on both of those websites is an application you can fill out, and you can email that in, and then we do the pre-approval process. And then when you show up at the Adopt-a-thon, you're ready to go, you're approved, because we check out everybody's references and such. And then if you get pre-approved, you can take your animal home on the day of the Adopt-a-thon. Otherwise, you would have to wait until after Monday when we could call your references and such.
Now, I'm a fan of Siamese cats specifically. I like Blue Point Siamese, not the ones with the long snouts, the regular old apple heads, as they're called. Can I fill out an application and say, look, I don't need to adopt a pet today or tomorrow, but if an apple head Blue Point Siamese comes in sometime in the next year, would you let me know about it?
You can. We would put you on a wish list, either dog or cat wish list, and then when we get one, if we get one, we would call you. And we do. We get amazing cats and dogs.
Do you have any kind of a network, for example, contacting Washington County or Clatsop County? That's my job, right? If I want to go do that.
Yes. Yeah.
You've got other things to do.
You know, there's a great website called petfinder.com.
Oh, really?
And you go on Petfinder, you put in your zip code, and you tell it how many mile distance you want are willing to travel, and it will show you all the pets from all the shelters who are registered on there, and all the shelters are registered on Petfinder.
And I imagine you contribute to that database.
We
do as well.
And the pictures of all our animals and little descriptions of all the animals are available right there on Petfinder. And we actually get quite a few adoptions from Petfinder. People come from Hillsboro, people come from Washington, all over the place.
That's amazing, and that's wonderful.
It is. It's a
great,
it is.
Great thing.
It's a great tool, and they have a new iPhone app that you can sit there on your iPhone. And it's actually like really popular. There was some commercials on American Idol, and it became the number one downloaded iPhone app for the day. Yeah.
And what about just people who may be listening who just like animals? Maybe they already have a cat or a dog, and they want to help you out, contribute. You'll accept a donation.
We will.
You wouldn't turn them away.
No, no, we would never. No. Anything, cat food, cat litter, dog food. We'll take any kind of in-kind donations, money donations. We desperately need foster homes for dogs, cats, and just people to come and help. People to maybe put up some posters, or we could think of all kinds of jobs that we need people for.
How's that work with a foster home? I mean, that means that I won't be keeping the animal, but
hopefully,
hopefully. But in effect, boarding and taking care of it until a permanent owner can be found.
Yeah, and our fosters, they bring the cats or dogs to the adopt-a-thon when we have the adopt-a-thon, and basically they just have to be available so that we can get the cat if we need to show it to somebody. Or they could show it to somebody if they want to have somebody over to their house.
We're quickly running out of time, and I suspect I know the answer to this. And if I'm wrong, then we would have to spend a whole other half hour. But we've been simply talking about cats and dogs. And, of course, there are other animals in the world.
There are.
Birds and reptiles and other mammals. But that's a lot to take on. I guess you're limiting yourself to cats and dogs.
We are. Yeah. If somebody needs help with another kind of animal, say a horse. We at the animal shelter, we actually listed a donkey once.
Really?
And got rid of a donkey for somebody. Not got rid of, but rehomed a donkey for somebody. And so we'll try to help with anything, try to hook someone up with the right person who can help them. I know a lot of people that I can just kind of shoot emails out to, give a call to, who can help with various other kinds of animals.
Well, Maria, you do terrific work, and on behalf of animal lovers everywhere, we thank you. The websites for both organizations, one more time.
TillamookAnimalShelter.org and UnitedPaws.org.
And our guest this morning, involved with both organizations, thank you for coming by. Great pleasure, and keep up the great work.
Thanks, Peter.